Richard, can you take some questions?
Yes.
Okay, you want to have any questions?
Please note that I am almost deaf. So if you want me to hear you, you need to speak loud and slowly and clearly like this.
If everyone that has a question could proceed to one of the microphones, that would be great.
Thank you. First, thank you for a fascinating talk. I'm curious about your idea about data portability, Facebook, and privacy.
One question at a time, please. I'm sorry, I can't remember multiple questions to answer them. I'll talk about data portability. Well, basically, that means using defined formats. And of course, we want to do that. But do note that if the format is supported by free software, then at least it's specified by the code. Now, that may not be ideal, but it's better than nothing. Whereas if you use a format that's only specified by the proprietary program that implements it, then you're screwed. Now, as far as Facebook is concerned, the business model of Facebook is collecting people's personal information and abusing it. You shouldn't use Facebook. Now, Facebook, by the way, is not software as a service. Its basic services are kind of communication and publication. So, you know, there are various, as I said, there are other ethical issues raised by network servers, and Facebook is a good example of how bad a service can be for other reasons. There are other problems with Facebook. It does or did try to appropriate people's works that they post there, giving Facebook the right to use them for commercial purposes in an unlimited way. So never, absolutely, you shouldn't post anything there. Of course, you shouldn't use it at all. It uses Flash for distributing video, and that's bad. Now, it's conceivable that Gnash, the GNU free Flash player, will work with those Flash videos. I don't know. It's still a bad thing to use Flash to distribute anything, to use Flash in any website. And also, there are various secondary services supported by Facebook, and some of them are SaaS. So, plenty of reasons, but some of them they could correct. But the fundamental one, that the business model is based on mistreating people, they'll never correct that. You have to correct it. Facebook is not your friend.
So, the question,
Okay, the question I have is from the point of view of the society that you seem to have this long-term viewpoint, society's viewpoint, freedom viewpoint, so on. But what bothers me is that the Free Software Foundation, it is not going to create any wealth.
I think you're mistaken. In any case, our society makes too much emphasis on wealth and creating wealth. And yet, since we don't have democracy and freedom sufficiently, whatever wealth gets created goes to the rich. In the U.S., until the financial crisis, there was tremendous gain in production and income, national total income, and all the benefit went to a tiny fraction of the wealthy. The poorest people were worse off 3 years ago than they were in 1980 because of course, right-wing policies designed to fight a class war against poor. So I'm not really so interested in talking about how to create any wealth. I want, in any case, I'm more concerned with my freedom than with my wealth. And I don't want to have any wealth at the expense of my freedom. I'm not so concerned about innovation. And the reason is innovation can be good or bad. At one point, democracy was an innovation. At one point, dictatorship was an innovation. Innovations can be good or bad, and if we don't judge them based on more important criteria, we'll get a lot of bad ones. Especially in corporatocracy, what can we expect? And I've learned to expect since around 10 years ago that innovations in digital technology are usually malicious. And I've tried to formulate a law that basically says, to the extent that technological advances give us the ability to do something more, new forms of restriction will take away our ability to do what we did before, and thus it's no gain. So,
wealth is not important, but it's the wealth that allows us to have a hall like this.
Fine. What good is it to have a hall like this if we don't have it in freedom? By the way, you're mistaken. It's clear that free software is extremely useful. An official of MITI, the Japanese agency that made Japan's success, told me in the 1990s that GCC had contributed $1 billion to the world. So I think that's ridiculous. I have no way of telling whether he was flattering me or whether any of that's true. I don't know how to measure what GCC has contributed in economic terms. I don't know how to measure what R has contributed in economic terms. I'm sure they're both substantial. But there are things we need besides just wealth. After all, the world has lots of wealth and makes too many things. In America, it certainly makes too many things. We have too many things. We're destroying the world with all the things we make. There are gigantic areas of the ocean where plastic debris is floating and killing birds and fish. So we need to make somewhat less things if we want to keep our planet going. Parts of Washington, D.C. are not very far above sea level, and if we don't want them to be submerged in a century or so, or maybe less, we better start making less things. I wouldn't like to be broke. I wouldn't like to be starving, but starvation because of too little things being made or too little total wealth, that's not the danger we really face. The danger we face in the U.S. is giving it all away to the banks or giving it all away to mercenary military contractors like Blackwater and the rest of the military-industrial complex.
So I have a question related to software as service, or SaaS. So as data sets are growing ever larger, and some of the computational power necessary to deal with them in a timely fashion becomes greater as well, it becomes less likely that individual researchers will have access to such computing power on their individual machines. So if we want to provide this service to users on our machines, how else can we do it besides putting it out there, providing the source code for anyone who wants to look at it, but having it run on our servers?
Well, if they, when running their work, can install their software, which, say, in a sandbox so that they can't hurt anything else, then that's not SaaS. That's providing computing facilities.
But if you say, okay, I have a program that runs on the given server, in which they can give them data, and then out pops an answer, they can look at it.
That's SaaS, so you shouldn't do it that way. That's not the only way you can do it, and that's the bad way to do it. It's not enough just to show them the source code if they can't decide what source code they're going to run.
I think that this will be a big would be rather difficult, though, to deal with the sandboxing question.
I think it can be done.
Government machines.
I think it can be done.
Do you know any projects that are working on it?
I wouldn't have the faintest idea. Okay. It's not my field. I don't know about. I'm the last to know about such projects. You could start one.
If you use free software, how are you supposed to defend yourself from hackers, because they can see the code?
Hackers? You mean people who enjoy playful cleverness like me?
Okay.
That's what a hacker is.
The correct term then.
You mean crackers.
Yes, that. How are you supposed to defend yourself from
people? Well, that's a strange question. It's like saying, if an airplane is heavier than air, how is it supposed to fly? Well, the fact is they do, and the fact is free software has better security than a lot of proprietary software such as Windows. So you might want to ask, instead of saying, how could we implement security, you might want to ask how we do and why it is pretty good. Basically, it turns out that crackers can find vulnerabilities anyway. They don't need to fully understand the software. They just need to figure out where there might be cracks that they can get through. And free software generally does a pretty good job of providing security. But remember, who do you have to fear when you're using a computer? Who is likely to put malware into the software you're running? If you're running proprietary software, malware is likely to be put in by the developer. However, discussions of security often customarily define that as not part of the problem. They focus artificially on malware installed by somebody other than the developer of the software, who wasn't authorized to put in the malware. But that's artificial. I don't see any reason why I should prefer to suffer from the digital handcuffs explicitly written by the developer than suffer from a virus. You know, some viruses will delete your files. Some systems with their back doors will delete your files. Is one better than the other? I think they're both unacceptable. Now, free software is not a guaranteed protection against either one, but it's pretty good.
I'm curious on your...
Yeah.
Yes, I wonder, you commented about products and activity, number of large companies, and I wonder, could you comment, please, about Google product and activity?
Products of Google? Well, the main product of Google I know about is Android. Android has a lot of free software in it, but what you get on a Google phone includes proprietary applications as well and some proprietary drivers or firmware. And that means there's no way to use those phones without proprietary software. The applications you can delete. It's bad of Google to release non-free applications, but the phone will still do the basic things if you delete them. However, no one has as of yet done the reverse engineering necessary to make the free replacements for these drivers. And that's a job that needs to be done. Now, Google is much better known for its services. And they are varied, you know. A couple of them are software as a service, but lots of them are not. Many of them attempt to install non-free JavaScript programs into the user's browser. And to protect from that, you've got to turn off JavaScript. We're looking for someone to develop a change in NoScript that will make it automatically reject any JavaScript which is both non-trivial and non-free. So if it's trivial, it'll accept it, and if it carries a free license, it'll accept it, but if it fails to meet either one of those, then it won't run. On the other hand, some of those services will work if you have JavaScript turned off. Google at least tries. When there's no great difficulty, it makes the services run without JavaScript. And there are other sites I encounter that don't work at all without JavaScript, and I can't use them.
So thank you for your talk. It was very good. I enjoyed it a lot. I was using a software project that was released under the GPL. They didn't specify a version.
They didn't specify a version. I think that means you can use any GPL version you like.
Okay. The next release of that software, they went to a commercial license.
There's no such thing as a commercial. I don't know what it means, a commercial license. You mean proprietary?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Proprietary, which they had a file that outlined it. No longer after that would distribute the source code. You get the source code for the previous version.
That's what you should use.
Well, yes, but I didn't know that that was even possible.
Oh, the copyright holders can legally do it. Now, one question is it legal, is it lawful, and the other is it ethical? It's always wrong to release non-free software, and therefore it was wrong. It would have been wrong even if they had not previously released a free version. But a separate question is the legality. The copyright holders of a work can release it in any number of different ways whenever they feel like it, legally.
I was just wondering, as someone who enjoys programming but also wants to make some money doing it, what are some models for distribution that allow people to release free software but also be compensated for the software?
Well, I don't want to use the term compensated for, because that implies that somehow you're being paid for work that you did, and I don't believe, and you know, if you say I want to hire you to do some work, and a person does the work, then you should pay him, right? You agreed to pay him. That's compensation. But that word is misrepresents this situation. If there are situations where someone will pay you to write a particular free software program because he would like it to get written and no volunteers want to do it. And in that case, you're working on a job for him and he ought to pay you, so it's compensation. And in fact, that's probably the usual way people get paid for developing free software, because they're developing custom software and they're doing it for a certain client and the client's going to pay them. But if you talk about writing a program and releasing it, then the term compensation is inappropriate, because no user specifically owes you money. Now, it might be good and it might be the right thing to do for some users to support you, but that's supporting you is one thing and paying a debt to you is another. Now, there are people who develop free software and they just keep releasing this free software, but it's useful for a certain kind of business, and those businesses want some kind of support. So the businesses will buy support from them. If you're the author of the program, that's a pretty good selling point in order to sell support. There are also large companies that pay some people to write some free software just to be released.
More specifically, I'm just thinking the computer gaming industry, I think, is one of the largest hindrances to free software taking hold, because it'd be very difficult, I think, economically to release a free game, sort of.
Well, I don't think that a non-free game is legitimate, and I wouldn't have one.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, I'm just wondering how one would go about developing a free game, but also...
Well, there are free games. In fact, it's getting easier. Because a lot of games involve, at least as a very popular option, talking to a server where the people interact with each other. Now, if this gets really sophisticated, it becomes software as a service. But if it's not so sophisticated and they're just having a game, well, okay, and yet people can pay for having an account on the server.
I'm just thinking, yeah. I mean, I think there are a lot of games, you know, like first-person shooters or, you know, things that are really graphics-intensive that no one's going to have sort of the resources to be able to develop free graphics engines and things like that that can handle.
Well, I don't know if that's actually true, but I also don't care very much. I mean, as an argument for giving up our freedom, it rests on such a weak foundation that it can't support such a conclusion.
Thank you very much for the...
I think the person in the back has been waiting for a while.
Thanks for your talk, very insightful. I was trying to understand some of the concepts you mentioned, and part that came to me was regarding search. For instance, you know, when we all use web-based search, engines, things like that, where we go in and type, etc. The results that are displayed, right? I mean, I'm trying to understand whether is that an example of something that is considered free or not free software?
The results of a search are not software at all. So there must be some misunderstanding, at least not from what I've seen. Of course, I don't use the web very much, but I've used some search engines, and I would type in some words, and I get a list of, hits that with links. Well, that's not software at all, so it can't be software of any kind. I mean, I don't understand what you mean by, is it free or is it not free?
So let me understand. I think you mentioned that really you need to understand how your computing is done. So any...
Well, no, I didn't say you need to. I say you've got to be free to. Remember, freedom one is the freedom to study the source code and change it. It's not the obligation. I'm not saying that everybody has a duty to study every program that she uses. I don't study every program I use. I'm not saying that that's a requirement. I'm just saying you should be free to do so.
So, I don't think we are free to understand how Google actually presents search results.
Right, but since that's not your computing, that's just asking Google to give you some of its data. So, I don't think that it falls into the area where we have a right to demand anything.
So the GPL has been defended, in my understanding, a number of times against wholesale copying of source code from one program to a proprietary program. But I have a very hard time disentangling the legal intricacies of derivative works. And to my knowledge, there's been no defense or no legal testing in a court of law of the derivative.
Probably not. That's a cop. But also, derivative work is the wrong concept. The question is, does another work have substantial similarity due to copying? Right, derivative work is one special case of that.
Okay, so my understanding from the GPL frequently asked question that interpretation of, say, a function call to a GPL program, linking to a library that's GPL.
Well, that's a combined program which contains the GPL covered piece. And the GPL says you're only permitted to use that piece in the combination if the combination is entirely under the GPL.
So do you anticipate that particular interpretation being tested anytime in the near future?
No.
Okay, thanks.
That is, you mean tested by an actual court case? No. Tested by our telling people you can't do that and that they then change what they're doing, it's already been. But that's not an official legal precedent.
So in talking about rights, there's also the question of responsibilities that come up, especially in terms of government. So as citizens, we have this responsibility to pay taxes, some of which go to the procurement of non-free software, say government institutions, for example. Do you view taxes as a necessary evil and the use of taxes for things like...
I am in favor of taxes. I'm a liberal.
And do you have any problem with your taxes being used to buy non-free software?
Well, actually, I have a much more of a problem with the use of non-free software by public agencies because they have a responsibility to maintain control of their computing. But also the government as part of its overall responsibility to set up society in a way that is good that serves the well-being and freedom of everyone. that they're helping to do something that's bad. They're helping to prop up something that's bad. It looks like there are no more questions.
The audience is exhausted, and so we have, I think, some refreshments.
Ah.